Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
Everyone who has viewed pornography for an extended period of time begins to experience a level of frustration. Now, we may not realize that we're becoming more and more frustrated, that our patience is getting shorter and shorter. But if you would ask your spouse, if you're married, ask some of your coworkers that you hang out with, anyone that you spend time with, they're going to tell you that something has been wrong. Something's different. Frustration, after all, is just anger on a low simmer. It's just a matter of time before that very short fuse of ours, it gets lit and our anger is just unleashed. Have you ever wondered why? Why is that? How and why would extended viewing of pornography change us like that? Well, anger is trigger number 11 in the sex spiral. There are 12 triggers total, and now we are just one trigger away from hopelessness and despair. This podcast featuring anger is part one of three, and it comes from a teaching series titled The Sex Spiral, Forgiven and Free from Pornography. And yes, you can be both, I promise. This material over the next 3 days, it will change your life. It will. But it's based on one condition, is that you start applying this stuff. You start small and you walk slow and you trust God with everything that you have. The sex spiral is a set of awareness triggers that explain the location as to where you are inside this habit, inside this bondage or addiction to pornography. In today's podcast, we're going to discuss several different things. Number one, the four different sources of anger. And number two, the two different types of anger. So let's get started with today's lesson. This is Why Porn Makes You Angry.
The Apostle Paul writes, "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable. It's not resentful. But it does not rejoice at wrongdoing. It rejoices with the truth. And love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, and I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I gave up my childish ways." Father, I pray that as we talk about anger tonight, that we understand what love really is. That we are to be more patient and kind. That we're not supposed to envy or boast, not to be arrogant, rude. We're supposed to be kind and reflect who you are. The King of Kings and the Prince of Peace. Not just to other people or coworkers, but to our family, our children, and if we're married, to our wives. So, Lord, once again, please soften our hearts and sharpen our minds tonight. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, trigger number 11, anger. There are four common sources of anger. You'll see those listed on your worksheet there. Number one is hurt. Hurt. Your heart has been wounded when it's hurt. So everyone has a God-given need for unconditional love. And when we experience rejection or emotional pain, that causes hurt. So you'll see the text there, Genesis 37, 3 and 4. Jacob loved his youngest son, Joseph, more than any of the other sons, right? So the brothers were okay with that, right? They didn't mind his dad loving the youngest son more than the other brothers?
Just a little.
I think they minded just a little bit, right? So there was, Joseph experienced hurt in that. So much so that they tried to kill him and leave him for dead, right? There's obviously a lot of anger wrapped up in that story. But at the end of the day, Joseph was deeply wounded and deeply hurt by them. Number two is injustice. We become angry when our rights have been violated. Everyone has a knowledge of right and wrong, fair and unfair, just and unjust. And when you perceive an injustice, you're going to feel angry. 1 Samuel 20 there listed on your outline is when Jonathan is talking to King Saul, and he's trying to figure out why King Saul is so jealous of David. King Saul loses his mind and almost kills his son. But Jonathan, there was an injustice there when he was trying to protect David because David didn't do anything wrong. Saul was a lunatic at that point as well, right? When you start throwing spears at people, there seems to be an anger issue on both sides. Number three is fear. When your future is threatened, everyone is created with an inner need for God-given security. And when you begin to worry or feel threatened, you're responding to fear. So 1 Samuel 18, once again talking about King Saul. King Saul saw that the Lord was with David. So King Saul wasn't happy about that. And then Michal, who was Saul's daughter, loved David. So King Saul freaked out because he was fearful for his own future. And when you get fearful, you start doing irrational things if you're not grounded. Because at the end of the day, it sounds really trite when you're in the middle of a storm or a trial, right? But God really is in control of this stuff. So number three is fear. That will make you angry. And then number four, frustration. Frustration is when your performance is not accepted. Everyone has a God-given inner desire for significance. So frustration over unmet expectations, either of yourself or of others, is a major source of anger. So Genesis 4 is when Cain and Abel bring their first gifts to the Lord, and the Lord accepts one and rejects the other. Cain went away very angry. He was angry. He was frustrated. So there are two types of anger on your outline there. There's righteous anger and unrighteous anger. And we'll define those here in a second. But did you guys know that God gets angry? Psalm 7:11, and I've got these key scriptures on your outline there. Psalm 7:11 says, God is an honest judge. He is angry with the wicked every single day. He's angry with them. Did you know that the believers, that we, are commanded to be angry? Ephesians 4:26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. But the question is, commanded to be angry over what? So over those four common sources of anger that we just listed, which one are we supposed to be angry about?
Injustice.
It says injustice. Any other takers?
Injustice,
yeah. I mean, good examples of injustice are obviously any type of child abuse, domestic violence, racism, abortion. You know, the things that matter to God, that's an injustice. Turn your Bibles to 2 Samuel 12. So the Lord sent Nathan the prophet to tell David this story. He said, there were two men in a certain town. One was rich and one was poor. The rich man owned a great many sheep and cattle. The poor man owned nothing but one little lamb that he had bought. He raised that little lamb. He grew up with it. Grew up with children. It ate from the man's own plate and drank from his own cup. He cuddled it in his arms like a baby daughter. And one day a guest arrived at his home of the rich man. But instead of killing an animal from his own flock, he took the poor man's lamb and killed it and prepared it for his guest. Verse 5. When David heard the story, he was furious. As surely as the Lord lives, he vowed, any man who would do such a thing deserves to die. He must repay four lambs to the poor man for the one that he stole and have no pity. So is that righteous or unrighteous anger?
Righteous.
It says righteous.
I was leaning more than unrighteous. Sounds kind of vengeful.
Sounds vengeful on David's part?
I mean, the guy that wants what's repaid, I understand that, but I don't know. Maybe when you read, surely he deserves to die, I was like, I mean, you're not saying he does deserve. You said surely. It was kind of leaves it up in the, I don't know, kind of on the fence.
Well, I think what he's saying, I understand that because that seems like severe. I think David was judging his heart, and I think David could see that this guy's heart was nothing but evil. And this was just a demonstration of one small part of what this guy's normally about day to day. It wasn't like, oh, well, I made a mistake. It wasn't that kind of situation.
All right. What do you guys think? Righteous or unrighteous?
I think it's righteous, kind of, you know, serving like the injustice and everything, kind of. It's not, I mean, he didn't think it was right for that to happen, so he thinks that he deserves the justice for that.
Of course, when we continue the story, what happens? Nathan goes, well, you're the guy. You're the guy that took the lamb. And then he was convicted. And you got to admit one thing about King David was that he repented quickly.
Wasn't Nathan the dude the only one that would point out this? No one else would point out his
sin. Yeah. Yeah, that's the great thing about being a prophet. You get to tell people all the things that nobody else wants to, right?
Yeah, or it's not going to be received well.
Right, and then they die. That's typically how that went.
King David sinned greatly by committing adultery with a woman named Bathsheba. Now, you may or may not know the story, but one thing that we usually don't hear about is that this act of adultery, it wasn't just two consenting adults having fun. No. See, King David, who's known as a man after God's own heart, he actually raped this woman. She was physically taken from her home and brought to his bedroom for one purpose. I mean, what was she going to do? Was she going to tell the king no? And if that wasn't heinous enough, King David then finds out that Bathsheba is pregnant because, you know, that's always a possibility when you have sex. And he goes through this long, detailed plan to cover up his own sin. And when that plan doesn't work, he actually has Bathsheba's husband murdered. So here we see how misplaced passion works, don't we? Sin always leads to more sin. And once again, this is a man known for slaying Goliath because of his love and his passion for God. In today's lesson, did you hear how the prophet Nathan made King David angry with his story about the lamb? God has a funny way of exposing our sin, doesn't he? I mean, yes, King David sinned greatly. But here's the thing about David is that he also repented quickly. And that is such a huge lesson for us to learn. We don't have to stay angry. We can actually exit this spiral, this sex spiral, by confessing our sin. And the faster that we confess, the faster we're back under the safety of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast that viewing pornography over an extended period of time makes us angry. Have you thought about why? I define pornography as viewing people made in the image of God being sexually abused for my entertainment. See, sex is incredibly sacred, but when it's abused, it's also incredibly profane. See, God didn't create us to watch sex. He created us to participate in it with our spouse, one biological man and one biological woman in a covenant relationship called marriage for life. So if you find yourself frustrated, maybe you find yourself angry, knowing that you've watched porn for years or decades, you realize that now. The good news is that now you know. And since you know, you can now choose to do something different. You can choose to do something holy. So let me ask you to do this. Why don't you make a note to visit covenanteyes.com today? By making this decision, you're not just placing a filter on your digital devices. You're not just protecting yourself from pornography. What you're actually doing is you're choosing to not be angry anymore. And man, that sounds like a good plan. I've been using Covenant Eyes for years. So let me encourage you to visit covenanteyes.com today. And when you do, you're going to receive a 30-day free trial. All you have to do is put my full name in the promo box with no spaces. And when you sign up, you're also supporting the ministry of Seven Places and this podcast. Thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and You. I'm Dustin Daniels. If you're in Phoenix, I want to invite you to our weekly Grace group. It's a community group for men and women, husbands and wives. Everybody is welcome. So you're invited to listen to God with us every Tuesday night. 7 p.m. is when we start. It's at Northern Hills Community Church, and we are located in Building A, Room 301. You can follow me on Twitter at Purity Pastor. And if you have a question, I'd love to hear from you. Send it in. Email me your questions at DustinDanielsRadio.com. 1 Corinthians 4:20, the Apostle Paul writes, "The kingdom of God isn't just a lot of talk. It's living. We're not just going to talk about this stuff. We're going to live in God's power. And that power, the power that will change you, the power is in the very name. That name in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I love you, and I look forward to our time again tomorrow."